It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well for another half hour. The whole show's half hour. We're not like secretly leaving the YouTube audience behind. Maryland Terps basketball coming up pregame at 6:30 here on the Team 980. But right now it is 6 o'clock on a Monday, and so it is time to revisit the six players we thought would be most important to the game on Friday. Some hits, some misses, all of them interesting. It's time for our pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's dive right in.
Number one.
Number one, Anthony, you chose Najee Harris. I think Harris has had an interesting impact on this game. He definitely picked up some key yards. I think overall, as we discussed earlier, Washington did a good job against the run. I think his injury in the fourth quarter, where he was out for a little bit, he ultimately comes back later. But his injury being out and Jaylen Warren having to take like 4 or 5 carries in a row probably makes him a little more susceptible to fumbling with at the 1 yard line, where Quan Martin ripped that thing out because he had been used time and time and time again. But overall, like, he had 3 straight 100 yard games going into this, and Washington, I think his longest carry I think was 11. He averaged less than 4 a carry, like might be averaged less than 3 a carry. Like, they did a really good job on Najee Harris.
Yeah, I think we definitely did a good job. We had him 21 carries, 53 yards. And a tud, and we just did a good job of gang tackling. It was tough to bring him down like one person. I mean, Deron Payne, I think he had one of those tackles by himself. But outside of that, like, gang tackling was huge. Everybody flying to the ball. Mikey Samer still had a huge run feel when Calvin Austin came in motion, and he just blew it up, and then, you know, end up
He missed the tackle, but he stopped the run where it was, and then everybody else came and finished the job.
Exactly. So, and again, when I talk about the run defense anyway, it's more so we had so many people like in the box, like limiting or, you know, trying to stop the run, that it opened up those opportunities on the outside where Pickens would be one-on-one or Mike Williams would be one-on-one. That's more so what I was trying to get at earlier, just because if we didn't necessarily have that need to have that extra guy in the box, we probably won't have to worry.
Thing is, though, like, they didn't – I don't know. I'm not all the way through the defensive tape yet. I don't feel like they really overly committed a ton. Like, they were kind of in their usual stuff. Like, Chin would come down sometimes for sure, but, like, he would come down from depth. And they do a good job, I think, of playing some too high shells that are a little more shallow than other teams play them, where like the safeties are kind of not far outside the box, but they're also able to get depth and get deep.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They did a good job with some of their pressures. The other thing I thought where they were really good is like Luvu has a sack on a play where it's a play action, and they would just fire. And they'd be like, screw it. If they run the ball over there, that's not my responsibility. I'm supposed to be here. It's a run blitz. We also think that based off whatever, you know, it's one where I'd love to ask Frankie, like, hey, did you know, based off the formation and the personnel or something that you saw on tape, did you know that was going to be play action? Because they had a couple of those where they really got after Russ a little bit. But I thought they did a good job against the run. Mm-hmm. They've been terrific against the pass. It's just the big plays. And they made enough of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has so many big play attempts that even if you hold a low percentage, they prove why those are so valuable. And that's, unfortunately, kind of what happened.
Number two,
I had Percy Butler. And the reason I had Percy Butler is because I thought it would give them a chance to play some more single high stuff with like Jeremy Chinn in the box and Quan down closer to the box and, you know, let him kind of have the range over top. And they just don't. It's so interesting because I don't feel like he was used like that a ton last year. And I don't feel like he's used like that a ton now, where he's this big, like, over-the-top speed range type of player, despite the fact that he has incredible speed. He is a thumper who comes downhill and really hits people and has good fills in the run game. He does play decent coverage at times, but I don't know. His PFF grade was not great in this game. It's 55. It's the fourth worst on the team. And 55 is yellow. It's not like you play a heinous game, but it's certainly not good. I guess he missed some tackles. I'm trying to remember the play, but he
Najee Harris ran him over. That was one of
them. Oh, yeah, that was the bad one. Yeah, because he got like a 25 tackling grade. I was like, that's not good.
He got him back, though. He speared him.
Yeah, but I think Percy showed up on teams. Like, big hit. Like, he just continues to be a solid football player. For a guy that's, what, fourth, fifth round pick? Like, he's a good football player. He fits what Dan Quinn wants. And the chin of it all is Jeremy Chinn had a mostly fantastic game. I gave up a couple tough plays. Pat Freiermuth's a good tight end. So he gave up a couple, but, like, has the pick, has a couple of big hits. The freaking penalty, that was a killer. The penalty, the roughing that he picked up. Which I still don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the TV copy multiple things. Did you like that call?
I understood it.
Yeah, I feel like he wrapped him up, and Russ is just short.
Nah, he like hit him like this.
There was
like
a club to the head. Yeah, okay,
it was more so the shoulder, neck, and
the head and neck area.
Yeah, anytime you touch the neck though, they're gonna call it kind of thing.
Yeah,
so I understood it, but at the same time, Joe Burrow just got hit in the face, and they didn't call anything.
Yeah, well, you can't use bad calls in other games for justification. Of like, I don't know, they missed the guy getting out there and stabbing him with a katana, and so we just let everything go. Like, no, that's not how that goes.
I didn't like it. That
it was borderline. Yeah. So there's that.
Number three
is maybe one of the most interesting guys, and I am curious how much insight we can get into this from Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, whoever else, John Keim and Sam Fortier, Nikki Javala and Ben Standard can ask about out there on the beat this week. Chris Rodriguez was our number three. I thought we'd see a lot more Chris Rodriguez, who we set here after B-Rob was ruled out. And they kept going to McNichols, who couldn't do a lot, and Eckler, who couldn't do... Like, Eckler had a better game feeling-wise than his numbers would indicate. Mm-hmm. But there's also some stuff with him where I'm like, why can't you get open on screens anymore? He also has some weird missed assignments and like missed cuts and things like that. But then he'll hit one and get 12 yards, and you're like, oh my God, how can we live without Austin Eckler? They're a very confounding player because he's really good, or like, bro, what? You're a vet. I didn't know vets did that. But Rodriguez just did get opportunities, and then he finally gets some late in the game where they're backed up in their own end. He has one good carry, and then he has another good carry that is aided by a John Bates hold that actually kind of goes to the root of, I think, a lot of other stuff, which is the offensive line run blocking in this game was not nearly as good as they have been. And this is why when people complain about Andrew Wiley, I'm like, be careful what you wish for, because that dude is a gangster run blocker. And even though he's not the world's greatest in one-on-one pass situations, you can protect around that. It's really hard to create run blocking out of thin air. You can create protection out of thin air with multiple bodies. You put bodies in the air. You can't get push out of dudes who just aren't good at pushing. And I think they felt that in this game, whether it was Rodriguez and the hold on Bates, where Bates gets put in a bad spot because Trent Scott doesn't really help him out like he's supposed to on a double team, whether it is Eckler, whether it is McNichols, and credit to Pittsburgh. Their front is disgusting, man. Like, their front is so good. And it's Keanu Benton, it's TJ Watt, it's Alex Highsmith, it's Casey Hayward, or Cam Hayward, it's all of them.
Preston,
they're nasty.
Too.
Yeah, Preston had a couple nice ones. Like, I am very confused as to why C-Rod didn't get more carries. I also understand that there's a lot of other issues in the run game.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, do you think this is a team, though, that's built to withstand not being able to run the ball? Like, I'm not going to lie.
And that's, no.
Okay.
So. I definitely wish that they had, I mean, the attempts are low. Like, but also, you know, they found some stuff with a quick passing game, and I think sometimes, like the slants and stuff, you can just go with those. They also had a couple. They had a few more called like RPOs, and Jaden threw a couple. The big 54-yard slant to Terry was an RPO. TJ Watt got pressure, and Hayward knocked down another RPO. So there's a couple more potential runs in this game that ultimately wind up being passes because that's how Pittsburgh played it out. Some of those very successful. Some of those very not.
Number four.
T.J. Watt was number four. The last three guys here we didn't get overly fancy with. T.J. Watt, he had... Some people will be like, oh, they overall did a good job on T.J. Watt. Sure. T.J. Watt had a T.J. Watt game. In the biggest moments, there he was. He could have gotten a safety drawn in the end zone on the play where McCaffrey gets missed. That was probably a hold and should have been a safety. He has a big bone-crushing hit on Jaden the very next play on third down, where Brandon Coleman just gets run the freak over on the other side. And then Jaden has to flush right into TJ, and TJ smashes him as Jaden throws the ball away. He had another big pressure, but he also just did such a good job, he and Highsmith both, of rushing on their terms. They set these big vertical edges. They then have off, you know, they had a lot of five-man pressures in this game where they would be in their 3-4 base, and the angles are really, really tough because if the 2D tackles push the pocket up and you want to step up in the pocket because the outside guys are rushing high, there's nowhere to go. And it becomes less of a pocket, like this parabola shape, and more of a box. Mm-hmm. And then that box starts to compress. And there's no holes in the box. Insert your SNL joke here. There's no holes in the box to escape. And thus, Jaden Daniels was ineffective as a rusher for the first time in basically his entire career. He had 3 carries for 5 yards. Like, that's an unbelievable job, and TJ Watt deserves, and Alex Highsmith both deserve a ton of credit for that, even if Watt doesn't have the big sack fumble, you know, 3 sack, whatever version of that game that he's certainly capable of having.
Yeah, and I think players, big-time players, they step up in big-time moments, and I think for the first 3 quarters, definitely relatively quiet. He almost had the interception off the deflection.
Good play by Jaden, by the way, to chase that thing down and be like, no!
Yeah.
Nah.
But not until the fourth quarter, like TJ Watt, that's where he end up, you know, wreaking a little havoc. Like that's where I saw TJ a little bit more. So late in the game, I think that's when he came alive.
Number 5.
Terry McLaurin is a badass.
Yes, he is.
This dude, all he did the first, 6 years of his career was put up 5,000-yard seasons. And then the other one was in the 900s with some of the worst quarterback play in football. And I get it that when you watch him down in, down out, he's not the best route runner in the league. He's not the biggest. He's really fast, even if he's not the fastest. Like, he's an awkward catcher of the football. But at some point, can you just go, this guy's freaking awesome. I don't know if he's a top 5 receiver in football, but I'm pretty sure he's a top 10. I'll tell you what he is. Top 3 in yardage in the NFL behind Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. This dude's sick. He is everything you'd ever want in a leader. Stand-up quality human being. Stand-up quality football player. Except for if you start talking trash to him, and then he's going to bite your face off, as Joey Porter Jr. found out. Oh my God, what a game from Terry McLaurin. And it just kind of sucks that it happens in a loss. But he had, 5 for 115?
Yeah, 5 for 113. 5 for 113. The only thing I will want, I think Terry had a great game, by the way.
Of course.
Before I wanted to preface that before I ask what I'm about to ask. Do you think we should have been able to go to him, though, fourth quarter, we got to get 15 yards? I understand Zach Ertz, his security blanket, Noah Brown had a favorable matchup, like third or fourth string corner for the Steelers. But at the same token,
I had that thought as well. And I think that the way this offense is run all year, they have trusted multiple guys.
Yep.
And it's also really hard to ultimately, like, I had that thought. I kind of sometimes get in these modes where I'm like, Terry is so unguardable in man-to-man situations that if it's man-to-man, just isolate him, let him run a go route, and he's going to win. Even if it's 40% of the time on true wins, the other 60 are going to be incompletion, and the 40 are going to be so damaging that if you get 4 big plays a game, you're going to win. Like, he gets so dominant at times that it's just how I feel. Or if they start to really sit on stuff, like hit him on the slants, hit him on the comebacks. Like, his route tree might not be Justin Jefferson's, but it is a complementary route tree. Mm-hmm. He runs goes really well. He runs hitches really well. He runs slants really well. If you can do those 3, you can put a cornerback in hell. And he did. But also, the play to Ertz on 4th and 9 is within inches of a first down, if it wasn't a first down, even if you're an annoying Steelers fan on the internet today, and my God, there are a lot of you. You are insufferable. You and the Bears fans and the Eagles fans can go in a bar and punch each other. Like, please, just stop talking to me. The spot was horrible, so it's right there. The play before it, it's close, But by rule, it was a PI on Noah Brown. The guy got there a little bit early. Yep. If I was a DB in that situation and I got flagged, I'd be pissed. But it was there a hair early. So, and like he got beat on the play. James Pierre did a good job, a good enough job recovering and got in the way. Maybe Noah needs to sell it a little bit better or whatever. So, like, it's hard to complain about the decisions that Jaden made or the play calls because they need to just work 2% better and you're fine. But I think it is a fair question. All right, then last but not least, real quick here.
Number six.
Frankie Louvu, he had a good game. You know, I want to continue to watch him in the run game and stuff, but had a couple of big pressures. He continues to be good. He's right there in Russ's face a couple times where Russ, you know, launches these moon balls and a lot of them fall incomplete. And I'm pretty sure he was right there on the one that fell complete to George Pickens or to Mike Williams at the end. And sometimes that's life as a pass rusher, but I think Frankie Louvu is doing a good job. All right, we will quickly wrap up the show next as we give way to Terps pregame. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.